Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday style, the 18th of August to 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I was wondering if moving the state's primary day from August to either June or September could and would cure anemic voter turnout. We talked about that. ABC News national correspondent Jim Ryan dropped by to talk about the latest military recruiting numbers, while Yankee Institute analyst and blogger Megan Portfolio had her weekly update as well. All righty, how are you? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Walt Maselli here. Hope everything is good with you. 4 big hours today. Chris Williams behind the glass, making sure that my not-so-dulcet tones get to you. Paul Bjork on the forecast, Andrew on traffic, and we're all set to go. Or are we set to go when it comes to people getting off their duffs, getting off their Bob duffs? Bob, I'm kidding. It's a joke. But people getting off their duffs and maybe deciding, hey, it's time to go vote. Now, the primaries were, what, a week ago today on the 11th, right? Yeah, August the 11th. Here we are, seven more makes it August the 18th here. And there's talk right now as to whether or not Connecticut should change their primary. Should the state change primary day? And it's kind of an involved thing here with having to do it through legislation and then going to the state constitution and all that. But everybody is kind of hand-wringing here because of low voter turnout. Now, look, let's make it let's call it something for what it is here. Ryan Fazio not having a challenge, well, of course, that's going to affect the Republican turnout. Now, again, there were some other primaries for legislative seats and some seats in Hartford, State House, State Senate, constitutional offices. All right, we get that. We understand all that. And some congressional primaries as well. But if there was actually a primary, a real knockdown, drag-out primary between Ryan Fazio, who, of course, is the nominee by default after Betsy McCoy dropped out with a lack of support there, and also a former Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart had to drop out because of her legal and financial troubles. Listen, an Aaron Stewart, Ryan Fazio primary would have been a hoot and holler and good time, but there was nothing there. So, of course, you get 10% turnout by Republicans. 19% of registered Democrats voted, too. That's not good either. I thought it would be up around, well, if you add the two, you know, you get probably a little over 20%, but I thought the Democratic turnout could be 25, 30, 35% here. Here's the bottom line. The thought now is to change the primary day. Is that going to make any difference? Why did we end up with primaries or a primary or several primaries? Why are we doing this in August? It makes no sense. The Secretary of the State saying that 19% of registered Democrats voted, less than 10% of Republicans voted either. Summer vacations have been cited as a factor for low participation. Well, yeah. But what would be better? What do you think would be better if the state were to adjust its primaries? Do you go further into the fall? Should primary day be, you know, in early to mid-September? Now, the complaint there is, if you do it there, the registrars of voters, the people in individual cities and towns say, hey, that would only leave the public and us being the registrars, what, September, October, November, you'd have barely 2 months for the main campaigns. So do you push it ahead like that, or do you pull it back and say, well, wait a minute, we don't want to do this in August. We should do these primaries right around, what, June, mid-June, late June, before you get into July and August. Moving the primary, says here on Channel 3's site, would not be a simple change. Connecticut used to have primaries in September, but shifted away from that date after a registrar said it didn't leave enough time to handle logistics before the general election. Well, what do you have to do? I mean, look, I'm not saying the registrars don't have a tough job. But August is it's snore time. It's the dog days of summer. A day change would also require adjustments to early voting schedules and state conventions. Well, yeah, sometimes things are hard. Let's go ahead and do it. I mean, these low turnout primaries are a yawn here. Democrats who say they support the shift say they plan to hold public hearings when they return for the new legislative session in January, and we get into 2027 and turn the page there. But what are your thoughts on this? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Because think about it now. We just had those primaries last week. So that was on August the 11th. Here we are the 18th. And it's kind of, it's August. People are getting in last licks on the summer. Some families are still vacationing. And I know you have absentee ballots and you have early voting. But what can we do to jumpstart the participation in the state in doing this? So what do you think? Do you push the primary day ahead to early September, which I guess some of the registrars of voters aren't real fond of because of everything that goes with it now? But remember, when we used to have it in September, we didn't have all this early voting. You just had primary day, and then you had the general election. But now with everything about registering here and registering there and registering to vote at the gas station and registering to vote when you're online at Mickey D's and registering to vote when you're in prison for that summer fun. Now there is a whole lot they have to worry about it. So do you take primary day and move it into September? Or do you take primary day and move it back to June? Because the idea is you want to keep it out of July and August, right? Don't you? Don't you? Don't you want to keep it out of July and August? Do we really want people to participate more, or are we just running our mouths here with that? So what do we do with the primaries? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Party leaders on both sides of the aisle now in Hartford and around the state saying, hey, what can we do to get people more involved when we have primaries? Now, having said that, obviously, if your state house or state senate seat doesn't have a primary, there's no voting in that. But I think, especially this time around, you had people who were a little, disappointed at the turnout or lack thereof. Less than 9% of all Republicans turning out, only about 19% of Democrats. Maybe they thought that Democratic number would be higher. But a lot of people now are blaming the timing of these things, with a lot of people simply being away either on primary day or being away in the lead up to the early voting if you don't use absentees or whatever. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. So it's our question of the day. We actually have a couple of questions up there. I got one also about the Iran war. We'll get to that momentarily. But as a Connecticut voter, if you are registered with a party, what are your thoughts on when primary day is? Because apparently now there's some serious talk, and the majority Democrats are alluding to maybe a public hearing coming up as we get into the new year of 2027, as soon as we turn the corner, which is only about 5 months away. Go figure that, huh? Should Connecticut move its primaries? Because August, everybody says, is not really good for turnout. So what would you rather see if you are a party-affiliated person? Would you like to see the primaries moved up a little bit or moved back or moved ahead. I don't know how you would term that. But right now, the notion is that they happen in August. What about waiting a few weeks and let them happen in September? Now, once again, as we mentioned, says here that the registrars of voters, they're not happy with that because, you know, that gives them less time. If you do it, say, in the second week of September or the first Tuesday after the first Monday in September, then you're looking at only about what? A compressed schedule, 7 weeks to get all that regular campaigning in? So do you move that, in, or maybe instead of pushing it to September, do you move it back to June? See, I like the June thing. You agree with me or not? If you had to pick one or the other, knowing that the general elections are always going to be first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, and whether your city or town has a mayoral race or first selectman or first select woman or first select person, and that's always going to be in November, when do you want that primary? Is doing it in September too late? Even though there is like 7 weeks, or there would be something like 7 weeks remaining to do that? Or like me, would you like it in June? Which, again, would have to mean you'd need the nominating conventions to be maybe where they are a little earlier. But if you do it in June, then you've got all of June, July, August, September, and October. You have a 5-month campaign there. So in essence, the question is, would you rather have a 5-month general campaign, or would you rather have, say, a 2-month or a 7-week general campaign? I like the July idea. I do. To me, if you give it more time, there's more twists and turns, more ebbs and flows. Why not? We'll do it at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Or, you know, as I mentioned in this Channel 3 story, maybe a lot of people just don't care. Maybe a lot of people are so turned off by the partisan nature and party politics these days that they're saying, all right, just give me a binary choice heading toward November. A lot of people are probably saying, frankly, I don't care when you do the stinking thing. Right? A lot of people saying, hey, I don't want to get into it on the Republican side. I don't want to get into it on the Democratic side. Just give me something, two names, a guy and a gal, or two gals, or two guys, plus their lieutenants, their lieutenant gubernatorial candidates, and let's rumble on Election Day in November. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. You know, a lot of economists say there are certain indicators of the U.S. economy that don't show up in the Wall Street Journal or on the financial pages. You know, one may be, hey, who's buying what at Walmart? We're always told that. But the second one is actually a rather interesting thing to talk about. Jim Ryan joins us, ABC News national correspondent. Jim, good afternoon. And I guess we're talking about military recruitment here, are we not?
We are, yes. You're right. In the same way that the public health officials watch for trends in healthcare about the flu spreading around, they go to the local pharmacy and see how they're selling out on thermometers or on cold medication, right? It's kind of a canary in the coal mine. Well, historically, the strongest predictor of how recruiting for the military goes is the economy, right? If you have a weak economy, people tend to gravitate toward enlisting in the military. We saw it after the 2008 financial crisis, when something like 80,000 active duty soldiers were recruited by the Army in the following year. So, yeah, and the same is holding true now. This is the third year in a row, Paul, that the military, all the branches of the military, are meeting their recruitment goals. 61,500 active duty soldiers in the Army. The Navy is meeting its target. The Air Force and the Marine Corps is expected to do the same.
So I guess if you're in the White House, I don't care what party you are, Jim, or what chief executive it is, you got to be looking at each other going, hey, We're getting it all done. We're dotting the I's. We're crossing the T's. And people, whether it's for the money or not, we can meet our goals here.
Well, absolutely, right. And it comes, obviously, we're in a war with Iran. And so those folks are needed in the military. So whether they're signing up out of a sense of patriotism or pragmatism, you know, one way or another, the job is getting done. And the Pentagon itself asks people who are considering joining the military this question, quote, if you were to consider joining the U.S. military, what would be the main reason? And they list out 10 reasons and have these recruits rank them. Top of the list, pay. Second, wow. They're paying for future education, gaining experience, work experience, then travel and health and medical benefits. So I think people do recognize going in, you know, this could be a really good job. And if there aren't a lot of jobs otherwise for high school or college graduates,
yeah,
why not get into uniform, Paul?
Jim Ryan, ABC News national correspondent. Jim, thank you and appreciate the time. Take care.
All right. Take care. See you.
All right, there you go. Megan Portfolio is here. She of the Hartford Portfolio and the Yankee Institute. Good afternoon, Ms. Portfolio. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You sound quite chipper and spry today. Megan.
Well, I was off yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm still like coming off vacation mode.
Wow.
I mean, I went to Connecticut's best beaches, meaning Rhode Island.
Yeah. Jeez.
I didn't go too far.
Would you do a little Musquamicket action there? Is that what you did?
No, I didn't actually go. No one wants to see me on the beach. No,
uh-huh.
I hung out at the bar at the beach.
Oh, well.
Wasn't driving.
That's good.
Wasn't driving.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Another piece you have this week, and we've been talking over the past couple of weeks about the pension benefits and how the state employees want to redo a certain part of it. But now you tell us how long it actually takes the state to pull the trigger on hiring somebody. What's this all about?
Yeah, so this wasn't really meant to be a hit piece against any state agency.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration kind of came from when I was researching what the state employees want for their contract negotiation next year that they're going to be working on with whoever's the governor at
mm-hmm.
the time.
Yeah.
They basically want to roll back all the pension reform that we had done in 2017. You know, the pension reform that is kind of making Connecticut go in a positive direction instead of in the negative direction. And they want to roll that back. And one of the reasons they're giving this is due to the inadequacies of bringing in new talent. So they're blaming recruitment on this pension. And then the other inspiration came from friends of mine that have applied to the state. And then I went down a rabbit hole of Reddit where people were complaining how they apply to the state and they get ghosted. A friend of mine was a licensed social worker looking to get back into the job force after having a baby. And she's like, Megan, I couldn't wait any longer. She ended up getting some, you know, a job somewhere else. So I went on to one of the state websites, DAS, and they actually had data that showed each agency and how long it takes to hire.
All right.
The worst offender was 250 days. That was the Workman's Comp Commission.
So wait a minute. 250 days. So that's 8.5 months. Wow.
Yeah, and State Department of Education, 189 days.
Yeah.
The median range was 92 days, and I went back 5 months, and it was because they kind of changed the reporting, so I wanted to do an apples to apples comparison. So it was all in that area, you know, 89 days, 90 days, 92 days, you know, every month for the past 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't come and tell me that the tier four pension, you know, some 20-year-olds trying to get a state job, they're out of college, they need to work, they have loans to pay back. They ain't not taking the job because of a pension. That's so far out in their future. It's because it's taking so long to hire.
Why?
And so then
why?
There's a lot of reasons. And again, this is not a hit piece against state agencies.
Okay.
They are addressing it. DAS is, you know, they just came out with new standards. They are trying to encourage management to, you know, hire more. Mm-hmm. But the agencies are saying regulations, statutes, collective bargaining agreements are clogging up the system.
Oh.
Think about it. Every session we hear, oh, let's do a study. Oh, let's have a working group.
Yeah.
Let's have a roundtable. Well, a lot of these agency heads and management, they're responsible for these roundtables and studies. They need to put together these PowerPoint presentations. So, I mean, you look no further than the General Assembly to find out, you know, one of the reasons why it's taking so long. But it's disingenuous for CBAC, which is the state, the group that bargains for the state employees for their health care and their pension. It's disingenuous for them to just say it because they're not bringing any data. It's just this phrase that they use every negotiation season. Oh, we're having a problem with recruitment. I looked at other states. I looked at New York.
Yeah, I see that.
They just did So New York had just rolled back their pension, which is going to cost taxpayers over $500 million a year. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons was recruitment. Well, Reason Foundation, which is a national think tank, came in and looked at the data. And they're like, no, it's not a recruitment problem that you guys are having. You're making it up. And it's just this typical playbook that state employees unions use around the country, California, Oklahoma, Alaska. And the lawmakers, they take it at face value. And this is something we shouldn't be taking at face value. Mm-hmm. Because if there is a recruitment problem, and it's not tied to Tier 4, the problem is still there. Like, we need to address the problem. And this is so typical of these government unions just making stuff up to get their way. And it's not helping. It's not fixing the problem. If there's a problem, let's fix the problem. I want to address the problem.
And you mentioned here that other states have kind of fixed this, and you cite Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania really did a big push. They looked into like the civil service exams where they tried to decrease the time, and they actually were in the pretty similar situation as Connecticut in that time frame, and they were able to knock that down. I mean, some of the agencies are recruiting in 40 days, and that's reasonable.
That's not bad.
And then I know there are certain agencies. Let's take, for example, the Department of Corrections.
Yeah.
These people have to go through all kinds of testing. I know correction officers.
Oh, I do too.
It's very long. But they weren't even the worst agency. I mean, I can't remember. They were somewhere around 109 days. So they weren't even the worst offender. And I do cut agencies like that some slack because they do have to do background checks. And there's a lot more to it than just hiring someone that's, you know, sitting in a cubicle, or actually they don't do that anymore, sitting at home because they telework. So social service people, you know, people that do social work, there's background checks because we have to make sure you know, they're dealing with very vulnerable populations. And we want to make sure we have upstanding people doing these jobs and not, you know, crooks. Mm. So I cut some of the agencies some slack with this, but for the state employees unions to use this as an excuse to roll back pension reform that's helped our state is disingenuous.
It's a good thing you can go and apply to the state library. They're the quickest I see here on your chart.
I love the state library. I don't know if you've ever been. Love the state library.
No.
I love the employees there are wonderful.
Excellent.
They're so helpful.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
give a shout out to those guys.
That's only 47 days, which isn't bad. But as you say, the Workers' Comp Commission is 250. Well, you know why. I mean, I know people have told me that the workers' comp jobs are, like, pretty coveted. Like, a lot of people want those jobs.
Yeah, there's so many. And again, they are addressing it. DAS is addressing it. They just had a memo come out July 28th with some recommendations and protocols. So I don't have the data to show if that's done anything. So they are trying to address it. So this is not to put too much blame on them, because it's not like someone in HR staring at the application for 69 days. There is something going on, but it's not because the Tier 4 pension exists.
All right, folks, check this out. Megan Portfolio, Yankee Institute, the Hartford Portfolio. She has a great piece here. Unions blame pension reform for empty jobs. They demand a rollback, but the state can take up to 3 months to hire people, and even longer. So that's Megan Portfolio's piece this week. Read her stuff. It'll make you smarter.
Hey.
Trust me.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
You like that. Megan, thanks. We'll be good. Take care. Have a happy week.
You too.
All right, there you go.